Good afternoon. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Thursday, April 13, 2017. The time is 1:34 p.m. I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. With me this afternoon, Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Hughes.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Michicki.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
On today's agenda, we have, SB 83, Vulnerable Adults Long-Term Care. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin? Yesterday, we heard the bill, we reviewed the fiscal notes, and we opened and closed the public hearing. Is there anyone off-net or online that is calling in on the bill, besides those for questions? Thank you. We received no amendments. Do we have any discussions on the bill? We do have Kelda Barstad from the Division of Senior Disability Services from the Department of Health and Social Services, Teresa Holt, the long-term care ombudsman, all available to us. Are there questions on the bill? So for clarity purposes, on page 4, section 4, line 7, we are moving from shall to may. I'm not sure who online can talk about that. Ms. Holt? Teresa Holt, are you there?
Yes. For the record, this is Teresa Holt, State Long-Term Care Ombudsman.
Teresa, I've already had the questions answered, but I just wanted to make sure that we put it on the record since we're moving from a more, from the shall to a more, to a may in allowing a department to advance reports to either the ombudsman or another appropriate agency. Can you clarify that that's why we're moving from shall to a permissive language of may?
Yes, that's correct. Currently, there's a central intake where all the reports of harm go, and they send those out to the correct agencies, and there are some of those 250 reports they receive every week that are not appropriate to be sent to us.
I just wanted to highlight for the committee and the people at home that that's why we're moving to more permissive language. And then on section 6, line 19, can you talk about, we're moving from 19 to 20, we're talking again about moving from shall to may. Can you speak about why we're doing that there?
Yes, Madam Chair. the ombudsman under federal statute can only share reports of an investigation with consent of the resident, or if the resident's not able to provide consent, their representative. And so that's just to clarify that we'll do that if we have informed consent.
Thank you, Ms. Holt. And then on section 7 on line, on page 5, we're deleting face-to-face interviews. Can you tell me whether that still allows video, or what's the purpose of eliminating face-to-face?
Madam Chair, that refers to adult public or Adult Protective Services, and Kelda Barstad would be better able to answer that question for you.
Kelda Barstad? Kelda, are you there?
Good afternoon. I am on the line. And for the record, this is Kelda Barstad. I'm the Manager of Adult Protective Services for the Division of Senior and Disability Services.
Thank you. Kelda, I'm looking at page 5. It's under Section 7. And we're removing, deleting language that is requiring a face-to-face, shall conduct a face-to-face interview with a vulnerable adult. Can you speak to why you're removing the words face-to-face?
Telehealth is a good substitute for areas that are remote and difficult to travel to. We would like the opportunity to use technology to improve our connection to the communities and provide a faster response than we may be able to with air travel.
Thank you. I think I'm moving back to the ombudsman, but I'm not positive. Yeah, it's the ombudsman. Ms. Holt, on page 6, line 20, we're referring to volunteers, so if the ombudsman or employee or volunteer of the office, do volunteers for the ombudsman take sign confidentiality requirements or are trusted individuals that go through a screening process?
Madam Chair, for the record, this is Teresa Holt, long-term care ombudsman. Absolutely. We do background checks. We provide 20 hours of training, including 8 hours of supervision. And all of our volunteers sign confidentiality agreements and ethics statements.
Thank you so much. Are there other questions for committee members? Senator Hughes.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Back on page 4 regarding the Shell to the May, is the normal process that the ombudsman would always request consent with the intention of providing the report? Or is it up to the ombudsman's discretion to choose whether to pursue that consent and with a goal of providing the report?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, this section about the department shares with us, so it doesn't involve any informed consent.
I'll follow up.
Senator Hughes.
Yes, I'm looking in Section 6 where it says the ombudsman shall obtain the informed consent, and maybe I'm not being clear. I'm just wondering if the process is that the ombudsman always takes the step to try to get that consent in order to provide the report, or does the ombudsman make a call as to whether to request that informed consent to provide the report. Am I making sense?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, my apologies. I was looking at Section 4, not Section 6. Absolutely. For every case that we work on, if we're going to share any information or collect records, we get informed consent from the resident or the resident representative. But there are occasions when the resident isn't able to give informed consent and does not have a representative, and that situation is described in Section 11 on page 6.
Ms. Holt, is this because we're working with two female voices online? We just want to make sure to clarify for the clerk who's responding to Senator Hughes.
Yes, this is Teresa Holt.
Thank you so much. I apologize. Senator Hughes, follow up.
Thank you for that clarification. I just want to make it clear that the process does involve, when possible, getting that informed consent, and that the ombudsman wouldn't just decide to set it aside and not pursue that. And so I wanted to make clear that May was not implying that. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments or discussion from committee members? Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 83, version 30-GS1815/D from committee with accompanying zero fiscal notes and committee recommendations.
Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, the CS for Senate Bill number 83/D, an act relating to the protection of vulnerable adults and residents of long care facilities, moves from committee with brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. On the record, is there anything else to come before the committee? Seeing and hearing none, tomorrow at 9 a.m. we'll have a spring revenue forecast update and bills previously heard. So I'm hoping to bring the education packages back before us for your consideration. With that, we're adjourned.